Welcome to the Pal Doula Podcast, where we navigate the journey of pregnancy after loss. Join us for heartfelt stories, expert insights, and a supportive community as we explore the resilience, hope, and healing that accompany this unique chapter in life. Don't forget to subscribe for a compassionate space where no one walks alone.
There you are. Hello. Yay. Yay. I'm so good. I'm fighting either allergies or a cold. I'm not sure which one, but you know. Yeah, right. I mean, we've had COVID in the last 2 weeks. We've had colds, we've had all the allergy problems, we've had everything. So it is what it is. Yeah. Well, how are you?
Tomorrow and just kind of feel like relishing like all the different aspects of motherhood, you know. And so I'm ready just to have a day to like reflect, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what Mother's Day has become for me, is like the day to just reflect and think about everything that's happened in the last year.
It's a lot.
So I was, before you hopped on, was saying that the purpose of doing these Instagram lives, I'm trying to do them every Friday, although we're going to skip next Friday because I'll be gone out of town, but is to have on a mom who has been through loss and been through pregnancy after loss and understands all of those things and is on the other side, to just share your story and say it's possible for you too, I guess. So, I guess just tell us a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself first, and then tell us about your story.
And I've always done things like a little, right? And so I have four babies. I have three here with me, and I have one in heaven. And we got pregnant, and then we got married. I was a public school teacher, and now I homeschool my kids, and I never thought that I would be teaching again. And here I am teaching. I'm a certified hypnobirthing childbirth educator, and so I do that here locally. I'm in Sarasota, Florida, at a local chiropractor. I teach for 5 weeks and then have 3 weeks off, 5 weeks on, 3 weeks off. And then I got into birth work. So I'm a local birth and bereavement doula, and I got into that through loss. So in August of 2021, our fourth baby, her name is Cal. And I lost her at 12 weeks. And with Calvary, I always kind of knew that, I feel like God had given me the gift of discernment to know that she wasn't going to make it into our arms. And to really prepare my heart and my mind for it. And something that I noticed throughout all of that was, people would tell me all the time, like, Allie, you're just being so anxious. Like, you're just being anxious. You're fine. There's nothing wrong. But in fact, I wasn't being anxious. I was deeply intuitive, and I knew, you know. And so oftentimes I think that mothers are told that they're too anxious, or they're depressed, or they're needy, or they're XYZ, when really it's a gift, and it's discernment, and it's intuitive. Like, you're being, like, it's instinctive, yeah. You know, like, this instinct about them. And I will fan the flame of that and encourage that, in every way, shape, or form, right? And so I remember our 8-week appointment, the midwife that we were going to at the time really started making me question things. I knew the date that she was conceived. I knew the date of my last period. Like, I knew for a fact that we were 8 weeks at that time. And she was saying, oh, no, there's no way. There's no way. You're wrong. Your baby's perfectly fine and healthy. Look at her heart. And it was just wild because I knew. I said, well, what if we're not? Like, what happens if it's not okay? And what happens if we move into loss? You know, and she said, you're just being too anxious. Mm-hmm. And I remember being so angry, you know. And then at 12 weeks, we were at this event for homeschool families. It's the first day of school in our county for kids and families that use public school. And here at this time, there was a big event for homeschool families, and it was just so much fun. on that first day, and sore my back hurting so bad. Mm-hmm. And I looked at my friend who was there, and I said, I think I'm losing my baby. And she said, why? And I told her all of the things. And instead of her telling me, oh, just wait and see, she said, brace yourself, you know? And I felt so grateful because somebody actually heard me and listened to me,
yeah.
You know? And so, and then the next day we went to, I had started, I hope this isn't like too graphic or too, but I started bleeding and, it was light and we were at a wedding shower and I couldn't help but think like the whole time that we were there, like how wild and odd is it that I'm here in a place where two are about to become one mm-hmm. and here where two or where, one is becoming two,
yeah.
You know, and it was just such a like whirlwind, you yeah. know, I'm like full circle. Like, wow. It just as wild, you know, like, and the things that women will do, not saying that they're healthy, going to a wedding shower while I was miscarrying probably wasn't like the best, yeah. right? Going like that distraction, I needed that distraction. And so then 2 days later, we started actively losing her and, I brought my other three at that time. They were, 10, 7, and 2. And, they have all known about Calvary since day one, and they know that they have a sister in heaven and they know to look for her. They love her. They talk about her. They're not ashamed of like grief.
Yeah. You know? I love all of your stories about how your kids talk about Calvary. It's the cutest.
You know, like I'll never forget, like 2 years ago, we had a friend over and he was helping us repair some things in the house. And, he was talking to my son and my son at that time was seven. So Evan was 6 when we lost Calvary. Sorry. He was 7 and the guy asked, he said, well, how many kids live in this house? Like, just kidding, you know? And he said, well, it's 3 plus my sister in heaven. And the guy kind of got like, he was like, what?
Yeah.
Like uncomfortable. And Evan took it as an opportunity to talk to somebody about heaven and the promise that we can find in heaven. And, it's all worth it to me.
Yeah.
Like that's all, you know? And so, and they always say like, I ask them things all the time, you know, like, you know, are you thankful that you know about Calvary? Like, do you wish that you didn't know? Like, and they know that their whatever answer they have is safe, right? Like they're yeah. They're in a good safe space. And they always say, like, if I didn't know, I wouldn't know to look for her, you know? Like, yeah, we want to know. And so while I was actively losing her, I remember taking a bath to try to slow things down. So that way I didn't want to give birth to her in front of my kids. That just seemed like a lot to me. So I wanted to get them in bed and then do what I needed to do. And I remember taking a bath to slow things down. And there were so many God-filled moments in that bath. But something that I remember was just like saying, pleading, like, God, if this is going to happen, like, that's fine, but you have to use it. Like you don't let it be for nothing. You have to use it.
Hmm.
And you know, there's that cliche that everything happens for a reason, you know, and people can get so offended by that cliche, but it's a cliche because it's been said a lot, right? And it's been referenced a lot because it's true.
Yeah.
And
my husband and I were just talking about that. Like I saw a post about, don't tell me that this was for something because babies don't die for a reason. And I told my husband about it and he was like, that is such a sad perspective to have, because if you say that babies don't die for any reason, then that means that their life doesn't matter. And I mean, I don't like the, don't say that there was a reason for my baby to die, because I mean, maybe it's a Christian thing. Maybe that we know that God does things because he's God and he has a reason for them. And we don't always know the reason, but maybe that's it. And I just don't like the perspective that things don't happen for a reason. So
there's purpose everywhere. There's purpose in everywhere and everything. Today we were Jeremiah 1 verses 4 through 11, and it was when God called Jeremiah a prophet, and Jeremiah was like, no way, I'm too young, I can't, no way, like, this is not me, I'm not doing it. God said, no, I knew you when you were in your mother's womb, and I've already called you, you know. And I feel like that's true for Calvary too. Like, purpose, you know, and she has a legacy. And so, I don't know, I think it all does happen for a reason. I think it all just happened for a purpose. And maybe that purpose is really uncomfortable, right? Like, maybe that purpose is being really uncomfortable in a career change, or maybe there's like a relationship shift. Maybe there's a shift in yourself and you're realizing, oh my gosh, like, either maybe I really am done having babies, right? Or B, I now know I'm not done having babies. I need that hope, you know? Maybe there's a shift in you're growing stronger in your faith. Yeah. Maybe you realize what it looks like to be carried and to fully surrender, you know? There's so many reasons.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we talk all the time about, we don't know where we would be spiritually if it wasn't for Peanut. That Peanut's life and death was such a huge part of our spiritual growing. And like, Peanut was our first baby. So like, we hadn't had children yet together. And we, like, it was a big part of our marriage growing and our faith growing. And then we learned the importance of a local church in a way that we had never known before. Like, part of my background is that my dad is a missionary construction person. And so we traveled and did construction projects for other missionaries all over the world, but we never were really part of one church because of that ministry.
Right.
And so I wasn't part of one church until I got married. And then my husband and I joined our church here, and we would never have made it through loss without them. And it just showed me the importance of church and of gathering with other believers, and that God created a community in the church that we need. And then also just the importance of weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice. And it was something that I never would have learned unless we went through it personally in such a deep, heavy way. So.
Yeah. I'll never forget our church showed up for us. Like, they really showed up for us. And one night after church, one of the women brought a ton of ice cream over to our family, and it's like this really special dairy-free delicious ice cream from this local ice cream truck. And it was just so touching, so thoughtful. And the next morning for breakfast, y'all had ice cream. So now after Calvary's birthday, sometimes on her birthday, we have ice cream.
That's awesome. I love that.
You know, find joy in the small things, because one thing that I feel very firmly about is there will be grief and there will be sadness and there is mourning, and there are still some moments that like my breath is just taken away, you know, but I don't want her memory to just be shrouded in grief, right? Like, it was so joyous to find out we were pregnant, you know. So excited. Like, it was bliss, you know? And so I want her memory to be one that is full of joy and bliss.
Yeah.
You know? But,
And we feel the same way that, I mean, for the first year or so, it was mostly grief, but we're to the point now where most of our conversations about Peanut are joyful ones and full of hope, because we know the God of hope and we know where Peanut is.
And isn't it so true? Her name is slipping my mind right now, but she makes jewelry. She makes like earrings and stuff.
Oh, is it the?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
She has this beautiful image that I show any of the lost mamas that I get to work with. And it was for like the national or international lost him, like October 15th. She created this image of a mom and dad holding a candle, and they were really solemn and sad. And then, I'm sorry, I'm going to cry because it's just like so sweet. And then she did an image of all the babies in heaven looking down at their families with their candles and just being like, that's what I'm doing. Like, it was just like the best medicine, you know, because that's what they are not. They are so happy, and they are so healed and so whole and seen and loved and held and all the things, you know? And so when I saw that, it was just such like a healing balm to my heart and to my soul, because I knew the truth, you know?
Yeah. And there's being people who know God and who have the hope of heaven. we just process loss so differently than people who don't. And I mean, I don't remember where the verse is, but there's a Bible verse that says that we do not grieve as those who grieve without hope. Because we have hope because we know Christ. And, if you listen to my podcast episode on lament, I talk a lot about that, that because of the gospel, I have hope, and therefore lament is different than grief. Lament is where grief meets the promises of God and joins together. And I've learned a lot about lament over the last 3 years.
I love that. Yeah, so we were praying. I was praying, like, God use it, you know, and he sure did. I found out what a bereavement doula was. And in my, like, trauma, I'm not recommending doing like I did, because advice is like, just stay busy, achieve, you know?
I was the same way. So I
became certified as a birth and bereavement doula, but then I also learned that you didn't have to be certified in order to be a doula. And so I was like, oh, that means I can start serving women now. And so I did. And so I started serving women through bereavement support in October of 2021, and it was just kind of wild because I supported women all over the world, just digitally, virtually, and then in person here. I volunteer at our local hospitals for bereavement support. And sorry, my dog is over there dreaming, if you can hear him.
It's okay.
And so, and then in March of 2021, I attended my first birth with a baby that they brought home, right? And I've been hooked ever since. And it's just, so now I've completely changed careers because of Calvary and because God purposed her life. And everything is different. And now I serve roughly 3 to 5 moms a month as a birth doula.
That's awesome.
And then like 1 to 2 births a month as a birth assistant for a local home birth midwife. And then 1 to 2 births a month at the local hospitals for bereavement support.
That's awesome. I don't do any, I had just had an in-person birth in April, and I have another in-person birth coming up in June. But 99% of what I do is virtual. So yeah. I think it's so cool that you can do that in person. I just live in a rural area and can't do it in person.
Well, I think it's so important that, like, people know that they have options and choices, you know, especially when you're experiencing loss, because a lot of times people just, I feel like in birth in general, like, birth, no matter the outcome, it tends to, decisions tend to be made for women versus made with women, you know, and so I think it's really important, virtual, in person, it doesn't matter. Know that they have choices. They know they truly have informed consent.
Yeah.
And like, informed consent is a human right, you know?
Yeah.
And so many women don't know that they can just have their babies at home. So many women are sent home and they're not told the risks, you know? Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't told anything, and I don't know how much you know of my story, but ended up passing out at home during our miscarriage, and my husband had to take me to the emergency room, and then it was COVID, so he wasn't allowed in with me, and I did not have informed consent at all in any, at any stage in our whole birth experience with Peanut. Which is a lot of why I became a bereavement doula. So it was like, people need information. They need to know what's going on. And we've even talked about, like, I'm at higher risk for miscarriage because of an autoimmune disorder. And so if the Lord were to ask us to walk through another miscarriage, I need to know who the bereavement doulas are in like an hour radius of us so that I can call one and be like, hey, come, because I can't make logical decisions in the middle of this. And I need someone to sit with me. And my husband can't make logical decisions in the middle of this. And he needs someone to come and sit with us.
Yeah.
And so we have a list of like several within an hour radius now that I can be like, hey, are you guys available? But yeah.
That's amazing. That's such a gift. That's such a gift.
So then after Calvin
praying for another baby, it was so funny because a few weeks back I asked my youngest, Paige, who just turned 5. I said, you know, Paige, how can I be a better mommy to you? And she said, oh yeah, give me a sister.
Okay.
Well, when is she coming? And I said, what are you talking about? I said, you mean Calvary in heaven? She just looked at me like, no, mom, not my sister in heaven. I mean my other sister. And so it's just like out of the mouths of babes, right?
Yeah. And I mean, they talk about how, like, when a toddler starts bending over and looking between their legs, they're looking for a sibling. And my son just started doing that this month. And we've been praying about starting to try again starting in July. And so I told Colton, hey, Josiah's ready now. We need to get going. But it's also like there is fear with that too, and of will it take a long time again? Will we have another loss on the way? And all of that that I don't think ever goes away after a loss.
So. No. And it's like that fear of, it's like a double-edged sword, you know, like you have this fear of trying again, and then you have this fear of never trying again. And yeah. I just, for us personally, I don't think I'll ever, like, if we didn't try, you know, I feel like I would, a small piece of me would live in regret because we didn't, you know.
I mean, I come from a family of 5 kids. My husband's family, there's 3 kids, but his parents always wanted more than 3. And his mom had diabetes, and after his youngest sister, she was told, you'll die if you have another baby. So they didn't try for any more. So even before we were officially dating, we talked about how many kids we wanted. And we've always said around 5, 6-ish. And so far we have 2, and one of them is in heaven. And so it's like, we know that we want to try again. We know that we want more children. It's just a matter of getting past that mental hurdle of actually taking the steps to try again.
So my husband is very great. And if it doesn't, great, you know, and he is, I'm like, listen, I want to, and so, but like, we've talked about it, how we would never regret having another baby. You know, growing up, I always said that I wanted 5 kids. So we have 4. So I feel like
I always said I wanted 9 growing up.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
But it is. It's terrifying because I don't know the peace that I now have. And even with the peace that I know is possible, I just don't know what my heart would do with another life. You know?
We did have a conversation the other day that I told Colton, my husband. I was like, now don't quote me on this because it probably will change in 5 minutes. But I feel like I'm at a place spiritually now where if the Lord called us to go through another loss, it would be hard and we would grieve, but we would be okay. And I wouldn't have said the same thing a year ago, or 2 or 3 years ago. But it's part of that growing in the Lord process. And I think I'm at that point right now. Now, do I want to have another loss? Absolutely not. But I know that I have a sweet, kind, loving father who will hold my heart if he calls me to go through something like that again. So.
True. And it's wild to think back, you know, and change things. Like, if I could go back and have a healthy baby, if I would go back, and I kind of pause because, like, the knee-jerk reaction is, well, of course, you know?
Yeah.
But I, like, pause to really think and ponder on it, because without Calvary's life being so little but so big, right, my life would look drastically different, you know?
Right.
I think that I would have been called to doula work no matter what, because I feel so purposed to be able to sit at the feet of mothers. And
it's an incredible really thing.
Like, be best. People just to love them and love them well and truly, like, be their village, you know? I just don't think it gets better than
that. Yeah. But I would agree with that. I said, I would agree with that assessment. For sure. It's my favorite thing to be at a birth. And yeah.
It's so cool. But, and I don't think that I don't think that I would be where I'm at today without Calvary leaving us at 12 weeks. And so I'm okay. Like, I'm okay standing in the veil, you know, like, I'm okay. One arm in heaven, one here, yeah. You know.
Right, we were just talking at church about the already not yet idea, that we're already saved and Jesus has already conquered death and sin, but we don't yet see the other side of that. Like, we still live in a sin cursed world and we still are tempted by sin, even though we've already been saved from it. And I feel like when you have a baby who dies, then you understand that so much more, because you're already a mommy to that baby and you already know that they live and you already know that they're in heaven. But you're not there with them yet. And you haven't, I don't know, it that already not yet just feels so much bigger to me than it did before a loss. And the gospel feels so much bigger. And it's, yeah, it's a neat thing.
And it's wild when you, like, attend, especially, like, in person, like, for me, when I attend a birth where God is invited in, that space is different. Like, it's just different.
Yes.
It feels different, sounds different, looks different. It is just different. And it's like,
we've talked before about how both of our births, but especially the one with our living baby, felt like a worship service almost.
Yeah.
Because we wanted God to be there. And he was born on a Sunday. And during early labor, we listened to the live stream from our church. We sang a lot of songs, and then when it got to the point where I couldn't sing anymore, I listened to a lot of music, and like, it was a worship service in that birth room, and like, I danced in the birth tub to worship songs, and like, it's a thing. Like, birth is such a sacred space, and when you invite God into the birth room, it just transforms it.
That does. Like I say, especially at the hospital, like, there's the fourth floor and then there's this room, because it is two separate spaces,
yeah.
You know? So it's just wild how different it can be, you know?
I mean, even my birth with Peanut, I was in the emergency room alone, actively bleeding, had IVs in both arms, and I told the doctor I was going to pass out, and then I did in the emergency room. And woke up to nurses everywhere. But I had my phone right here by my ear where I could hear music to help ground me. And listen to songs about peace and songs about joy and songs about praise and songs about grief and lament and sorrow too. But like, I worshiped in the middle of the worst day of my life. And I can't imagine how different that would have been if I had chosen to ignore God in those moments. That there would not have been peace. Like, it's weird to say that I had peace in the middle of the worst day of my life, but I did. And it's weird to look back and say, yeah, there were some joyful moments in that day. Because there shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
But God. So.
Yeah. Totally. I remember that night, it was like 11:30, so she was 12:30 a.m., and so it was right around 11:30, and my husband was just like, Ellie, like, what do you want? Like, what do you need right now? He was just so, so good, and I said, I honestly just want peace. That's it, you know? And it was like instantly peace fell on my home. Like it felt like, you know, like, so I'm in Florida, so we don't get snow, but I've seen snow. And like, I can imagine like that first really thick falling of snow that like sticks and stays and everything's just like quiet and blanketed. Like that's what it felt like in my living room.
I can totally relate to that feeling. That's what it felt like in the emergency room, which sounds silly, but yeah. And I grew up in Colorado. I get that first snow thing. Yeah. That I have not thought of that analogy before, but that is what it feels like.
Yeah. It just felt as blanketed, you know? And then two songs that I like could not stop listening to. One of them I listened to for hours every single day. Was the song Fine was really, really important to me during that season.
Can you say that again? I missed it.
Fine. It's by or Make Me a Vessel, Make Me an Offering, Make Me Whatever You Want Me to Be. And that's when I had asked God to, I heard that song came on and I just said, God, you have to use this. You have to use it. And then the song Promises by Maverick City Music, just the idea that God is the same, the setting sun and the rising same, like God is the same God in the bad and in the good, in the hard and in the holy, you know, and in the pain and in the joy. He is the same God and I can rely on that, you know. And then the song Seasons by Elle, I think, was just, I still just ball my face off when I hear it.
Yeah.
Those three songs were definitely on repeat all day. My kids know every word. My kids were like, okay, Mom. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, nope, I need this, you know?
My song is I'll Never Forsake You. And the chorus is, I'll never forsake you. This pain will not break you. For I will remake you for unending joy. My promise is faithful. Though now it is painful, no power can trample my covenant love.
Love that. What song is that?
I'll Never Forsake You.
I love called. That. I'm going to look that up.
Somebody shared it on Facebook literally the day before Peanut was born. And my husband and I cried through that song so much. We still play it for any grieving situation that comes up in our lives, in our church and whatever, we turn on this song every time.
Yeah. So good. So resounding message, right? Is that peace is possible. Peace is a person, you know,
yes.
It can always be, it's like safe to trust that, you know, it's not a weird thing to trust it. It's not a bad thing to trust it. It's like a really good thing to trust that peace is possible and it's yours. Yeah. You know,
I love that we're having this conversation the day before Mother's Day too.
I know. Well, I was thinking about it today, because in hypnobirthing we teach that, like we teach bonding with your baby, in utero,
mm-hmm.
and how important that is, and that a baby, like your womb, is like a baby's first classroom, and that they're learning from the moment of conception, and I was talking to the families this week, and it's just, it's so important for families to recognize and realize that you're a family. The moment you join with your spouse, right, like you're a family, and then the moment you find out you're pregnant, you're a mother and you're a father, you know? Like, you don't have to wait until your baby's in your arms to call yourself a mother or a father. And so I created a post today just because I was like, man, like, people need to know this. I don't think that they're really, like, they're so worth celebrating, you know, mothers that are pregnant, mothers that have experienced loss, mothers that have babies, they're all so worth celebrating. And I feel like we somewhere along the line, we lost that celebration, that, and not with like a Hallmark holiday, right? Like, I'm talking like really celebrating and,
well, we don't do the everybody go to church and then go over to Mom's house for dinner on Mother's Day anymore. Like, moms talk about how they want to be alone on Mother's Day, or, and Do I want a nap on Mother's Day? Yes, I do. But I want to spend that day with people that I love. Not even just my husband and my son. I want to spend that day with people that I've mothered in other ways. Like, my husband and I get to teach 3 to 5 year olds children's church once a month. And it just happens that the last 4 years, that once a month has landed on Mother's Day every year. And I love that because I get to mother these children for just an hour and I get to love on them and teach them about Jesus for an hour a month. And I love it. And yes, mothers are people who have carried life in their womb, but also mothers are, there's, it goes so much bigger than that, that there are spiritual moms, and some of the most motherly mothers that I've ever met never had their own living children.
Yeah.
But they are mothers, some to children in heaven, and then some spiritual mothers to people on earth that didn't have good moms or who did have good moms and just needed more or whatever. Like,
right.
We need to celebrate those things.
And so, and it's just like, we feel like we lost that when we started like fighting for, I don't know, this is going in entirely different. You know, we kind of put that village, like that village on the back burner, you know, and
it's so important. And we kind of,
grass is greener over there. Grass is greenest where you water it, you know? Yeah. So, I don't know, my hope is that like all mothers feel watered tomorrow, you know?
And if you are in the Western North Carolina area and don't know where to go tomorrow, come to my church. DM me. We'll welcome you. My church is really good about gently carrying the heart of grieving moms too. So we've had a lot of infertility and a lot of loss in our church, and they're really good about being careful about that. So come join us.
Oh, cool.
Well, do you have anything else that you want to say to listeners?
I think that's it. Just, I hope that you have peace, and I hope that you have hope, and I hope you feel like nourished and watered tomorrow, you know, and every day. Don't just wait for tomorrow, you know?
Good point. I think I'm recording this for my podcast too, and I'm going to try and have it up a little bit later in the week, so. If you're listening to the podcast and hearing us talk about tomorrow, we recorded this on the Saturday before Mother's Day. So
cool. Well, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to just talk with you. And
yeah, thank you. Thank you for telling us about Calvary and the rest of your babies, too.
What did you say?
I said, and the rest of your babies, too.
I know, right? And then too.
I love all of your videos and things that you share about your kids. Like, you're good at sharing their lives.
Willing participants. My oldest is not so much anymore, but the other two are. So, it's really good.
Well, Jess Jokin 123 commented and said you were both a blessing to me. I'm so glad.
That's so nice. I'm glad. I hope that you feel really, really good.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Allie.
Hey, thank you.
You too. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Pal Doula Podcast. Remember, the journey of pregnancy after loss is unique, but you are not alone. Stay hopeful, dear Pal Mama. Until next time, take care.